This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
Ah, how we love to feel loved, yet how easily we forget to love ourselves. It is my experience as a psychotherapist and healer that, even in the case of the most enlightened and evolved, the search for feeling love becomes external, through others or through something material or achievable. I need a hug, I will hear, or I need a lover. People will say, when I get that new car, I will feel good. If I get that new outfit, I am taken care of. Or, when I get promoted, I will feel better about myself. I am not saying that any of these requests or desires are unreasonable. External needs are very valid and necessary. What I am referring to is our soul dependency on them. Time and time again, we hear that love is within us. Of course, we need to believe this and understand it before we can go on a quest to find it within. This quest is no different than the one we embark upon while searching for love from another soul. Except the traveling and exploring involves looking at ourselves. How do we do this? For starters, through meditation. If that seems too scary, as it involves being with your own thoughts and discovering yourself, start with visualization. Valeria interviews Eileen Neely. She is the author of Visualize Yourself, Designing the Outcome of Your Life, One Issue at a Time. Ms. Neely became a licensed psychotherapist in 2003 and quickly opened her private practice in Newport Beach, California. On her quest to a more holistic approach, she became a diplomat in comprehensive energy psychology, DCEP, in 2008. Awarded by ACEP, energypsych.org. From 2010 to 2011, she hosted a radio talk show with Voice America called Holistic Answers to Mental Health, which quickly became part of the top four listened to talk shows. Most recently, she restarted Holistic Answers to Mental Health, now through YouTube. Having been highly intuitive since childhood, Eileen Neely comes from a family lineage of healers. After being diagnosed with fibromyalgia in 2012, her continued holistic journey had her encounter an unknown energy healing method in the U.S. called Cosmo Energy. She tried it for herself and felt an unexplainable shift in her energy, and she realized that working with this method was her destiny. She was fortunate to work with two of the most powerful teachers and progressors, Dmitry Vovodin, founder and director of the international school Cosmo Energetiki, and Igor Andreev, head of the School of Cosmo Energetics. She now has access to over 300 healing frequencies and provides services in both English and Spanish through video, photograph, or in person. Ms. Neely also works with those who aspire to become practitioners and coaches and initiates them onto these healing frequencies. Her established Center for Tranquility and Restoration in the city of Santa Clarita ran from 2010 to 2022. In 2019, Eileen was named as one of Los Angeles' top 10 therapists. Since 2023, her practice relocated in all things holistic is now in Thousand Oaks, California. She has been a presenter at the LA Conscious Expo and has also served as a guest on various podcasts, on Mindalia TV from Spain and Rapiendo el Silencio Los Angeles TV Vision Latina. She is a published author on the topic of visualization with her book, Visualize Yourself, Designing the Outcome of Your Life, One Issue at a Time. All of these methods are offered through her holistic psychotherapy practice. Meet Eileen at eileenneely.com. Here's the interview with Eileen Neely.
In your own words, who is Aileen Neely?
Aileen Neely is a very old soul. An old soul that I believe has had a mission to come into this lifetime to provide guidance and healing. And it has manifested in the way of me becoming a holistic psychotherapist, specializing in energy psychology and working with visualization, as well as energy healing with a modality that's called cosmic energy healing. And I do this, and whomever needs to find me, I am here for. So I believe that is, in essence, who I am.
That's wonderful. I mentioned off record how wonderful and beautiful your work is. I was preparing for this interview, so I was on your website, and I almost couldn't leave it. Like, wow, I love especially the page about you and other things that you have listed there, about challenge, about clarity, truth. That just caught my attention. I'll mention that in a moment. But before that, your answer to the question of who you are also caught my attention here now. I'm an old soul. When did you become aware of this concept, per se, this realization of being an old soul?
I think since I was a very little girl. In fact, it was pointed out to me. My mom would joke, my mother would joke and say, you know, you were born knowing all these things. I didn't have to teach you anything. But all jokes aside, I would watch my grandmother, who was a healer of children. I would watch her do her work anytime I visited her. And I had the sense that I could connect with the energy of those beings that were there too in my own little world. I wouldn't speak of it. And moving on in my life, I think that I always kind of served as this guiding light, if you may. Yeah. It just felt like I was more mature than what I was supposed to be. And I was there to watch others, even though I was a child myself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yes, it very much does. And that's really helpful that you had a family who recognized that gift in you because they had recognized in themselves. So I think that's where it really starts, doesn't it, Aileen? Recognizing,
absolutely,
right, that the subtlety of what it means to be a human being, what it means to be a soul, really. I usually don't use the word soul for some reason. For some reason, it comes up as I use the word spirit. And I wonder if there's a difference.
There might be. Sometimes I use them interchangeably. Yeah. I think that maybe the soul is the grander aspect of us, that it's eternal. The spirit is eternal, but the spirit is more alive within us, I guess. And the soul is you regardless of your incarnation. I think the spirit kind of takes form on who you are in that moment.
Right. It's an interesting dance to kind of use words to explain something that words don't really fit them. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's such a huge concept. I mean, in the sense of understanding with the logical mind, it seems to go beyond that. You talk a lot about intuition. So that, I know you do. You actually have as a title, licensed holistic psychotherapist, as you mentioned, and also intuitive frequency meditator. I never heard it that way. So, but I would love to ask you these initial questions about intuition. For those who don't know or need clarification to be more clear about it, how do we learn to listen to the voice of intuition? How do we learn to distinguish belief systems and all that?
That is a great question. I think that that's one that actually gets presented to me often with my own clients. And the simplest way that I find that can be distinguished is intuition is just a knowing. It's a fact. It doesn't have an emotion. It just comes. The minute you start to feel or start to think, it gets all convoluted and you get all confused and then it's gone.
So true.
Yes. So just listening to that first hunch, and And that's it. And we all have that power. We just, many people just discount it very easily.
Yes, that's true. It has been my case too. And it's interesting that we have all these, let's say, aspects of being. And I wonder why intuition, which is such an important one, per se, in guiding us through this human experience, why wasn't it designed to be more clear, more obvious? I often wonder.
Yes, I wonder too. I think that that might go in line with when we talk about an evolved individual. Mm-hmm. And then also your purpose, whatever purpose you have, if that is indeed something that you come here for, then it is about you guiding others. And you, if there's an ease to it and you connecting to it, the older we get, the more we, not perfect it, but the more we polish it.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's very much true. I have heard about the idea of evolution and growth. And I often also ask the question about what is the goal of that evolution? It would be to come back here as you did as an old soul and guide others. Do you have the choice to not come back in a human body and go through all this suffering that it entails? Or how do you see that, this transition?
Of course. I can only share from what I feel is correct.
Yes.
I guess none of us would really know for certain. But I often also joke about it and say that I have this visual of us, of the spirit ready to reincarnate. And there is this little checklist in front of their, you know, the spirit itself saying, okay, so you've already gone back and have done this and this and this. So you still have left physical abuse. You still have left cancer. You still have left. So pick one.
Wow.
Which one do you have? Because I think that in order for us be evolved spirits, we have to experience everything from the lowest to the highest.
Wow. That's interesting when you say, but that's not an intuitive thing to you, because you just said intuition has to do with knowing. We just know. But then you mentioned that we can never really know. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not necessarily intuition. Yes, that's right. Just me kind of making sense out of it.
Yes.
Trying to understand it in a human way.
Yes, right. Again, using words, right, to communicate something.
Exactly.
We don't need words to communicate in a way. So because of the time, I had four questions for you here, the initial questions. I'll ask you just the next one.
Sure.
How do you define mental health these days? What is to be mentally healthy? And would you say that all mental disorders are a calling for spiritual awareness?
Those are great questions. Defining mental health these days is, to me, also something that could be very different from person to person, because I guess it depends on their school of thought and their background. To me, mental health is about finding your center. And I try, and by the way, when I'm answering these questions, if you notice, I often say to simplify it, or I have this sense that when we use big words, we want to be able to really explain ourselves in a way that everybody understands.
Right.
And mental health is such a broad conduit for us to create any form of balance. And what might be healthy and balanced for you might not necessarily be for somebody else. So I think that in essence, it is indeed when I have found my center, when I am in unison and in equilibrium with my physical, my emotional, and, you know, my daily life, then I have mental health. The second aspect of the question was, I am so sorry.
Yes. Actually, I had another question about finding the center. So let me just make a comment on that. Mm-hmm. So finding the center, as you call it, which is a place of harmony, from what I understand, connectedness, is that something that we need to constantly work on? It becomes a practice, is a dynamic kind of a thing, concept, mm-hmm. or it is a place, a destination that we can arrive at?
Oh, yes. No, I think it's both, but we do. I think everybody needs to be working on it. But that too looks different from person to person. And right. I'd say, as I'm adding to this, that when we talk about mental illness, it's a whole different story, right? To me, mm-hmm. mental health is just yeah. that. Mm-hmm. Mental illness is the... you know, the imbalance in the brain. And from there, there's a lot of different routes to take. But when it comes to finding and working with getting to that center, yes, everybody goes about it differently too. Many times it's about grounding. Many times it's about silencing the thoughts and doing meditation. Other times it's about the combination of eating right. Other times it's about, you know, the making sure that you're surrounded by the right kinds of individuals and you lead a life that is focused more on joy and well-being. So that's kind of how I see it.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense to me. I love that you clarified about mental illnesses. Yeah, that's a different category, a different thing. Would you say that mental illnesses and mental disorders, are you using the same term for the same concept, or do you see them differently too?
No, the mental disorder is just then the label, the name that we give all the different symptoms that are the part of the mental illness.
Ah, okay. So the correct one would be mental illness. Okay, so I'll phrase that question that way. So do you feel that all mental illnesses are actually a calling for spiritual awakening with spiritual awareness?
That is profound. I am not certain, to be honest with you. I don't know that. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people that will say, you know, if you have a mental illness, you're coming here to be a rebel sometimes and, you know, show the world something different, or maybe it is for your spiritual evolution. I don't know. I know that there are scenarios where, let's say, children that have attention deficit disorder can be labeled as, you know, difficult, when in fact they just are connecting differently with the world, energetically speaking. The same can be said with someone who may have the diagnosis of schizophrenia. Some people are really connected to spirit, and that's what they're saying. But there's a difference. When there's an imbalance in the brain, you can really tell that the person is really gone, and there isn't anything there that it's not benefiting them. It's actually hindering them. However, the people that might be actually connecting with spirit, I think that are there, and maybe misunderstood and misdiagnosed. So it takes someone like myself, who's more a holistic psychotherapist, to see some of these things and recognize them as gifts, rather than you have a problem and we're going to medicate you.
Wow, I love that. Yes. That's also another gift to humanity, the work you're doing, because we have seen that. I just interviewed somebody, a psychotherapist from California that she had some, she called spiritual evolution, kind of a spiritual awakening, but she didn't use that word, that term. She was in the midst of this chaotic kind of state of being. She never thought that that could happen to her, because she was a therapist, she's a scientist of the mind. And then she found out that was the case. She never believed in anything beyond science. Yeah. And then she found out that she was having a spiritual awakening. And now that's what she teaches others, her clients and other people. I interviewed her recently on that.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. That's wonderful to know that we open up, right? Becoming more open to new ways of expression, of life expression. And I do feel like everything is spiritual. Everything is life itself, doing what it does to support itself. And to create the balance that you spoke earlier, the center. So it's never really, it couldn't be one thing. It wouldn't make sense to be. If it is one, it wouldn't be experienced anyway. Experience would not be needed. I don't know, for some reason, I see everything as life, God expressing itself. There's no really separation between me and you and everything else and God, what we call God. So that's my point of view. I wanted to touch on your book. So you wrote the book, Visualize Yourself, Designing the Outcome of Your Life, One Issue at a Time. So talk to me about the main purpose of writing this book. And also, how do you integrate holistic psychotherapy with energy psychology, energy healing, and visualization, Aileen?
Sure.
It's too many questions.
So do we have 3 hours?
Right. Yes.
Share with
good,
you.
Good question.
No. Thank you for the question, too. Yes. The Visualize Yourself is a book that I wrote, and I often joked as well and said, you know, I do this thing with my eyes closed all the time. I wrote this book with my eyes closed because that's where I could see the best. And there is this, what I learned from being a therapist was that, you know, people were really almost shying away from meditation because they were so concerned about their thoughts getting in the way. And I would say, well, let's just script it. Let's just script it. Let's be playful about this. And I describe in the book how, you know, it's as children that we have this purity about this, that we can imagine and create anything in our minds. Someone asks you, what do you want to be when you grow up and you're 5 years old? You might say, I want to be an astronaut. And you really believe it.
Yes.
And who says that you can't? So as adults, we just complicate things. And so by writing this, I felt like it could be a tool for people to really delve in and disconnect from that negative and critical mind chatter. And as you see, the book is divided into all different aspects of life. So if someone is having an issue with patience, they can do a visualization piece. If someone's having an issue with a divorce or even with their children and not being able to have them fall asleep. Like there is a piece of a visualization that you can either record your own voice with and play it out or memorize it and recite it. So it's a to-do book. And it's a handbook basically for you to do at any time throughout your life. And it's playful. It's what I love because I'm always in that zone of imagination. So,
yes.
That combining that with, the energy healing work and me being a holistic psychotherapist, I think that it is in the end about taking into consideration all the different aspects of an individual. When I first meet someone and they come to me for services and they're coming just from the counseling side, I will say, you know, I am here to open a panoramic view of all your possibilities. How we go about it will depend on you. So if I say I pinpoint that you might need a more on the counseling side, we can do some energy psychology techniques that involve more of working with a meridian system, like the acupuncturist would, to move the energy that way. The visualization will come in handy as well when they're in doubt. And then when everything fails and it seems like things are just beyond their own reach, then I will introduce the energy healing aspect of things. Or I will say also sometimes if somebody comes so heavy and devastated, sometimes we will start there just to be able to at least clear them, balance them, move that energy, whatever's there that is so heavy and impeding them. And from the other aspect of it being something that, you know, they might not have control over, when I do the energy work that I do that's called cosmic energy, I am working with different layers of the individual and the energetic space, and that's ethereal as well. So with this particular healing method, I can be your shaman, I can be your medium. I can be your your Reiki person. Yeah. I can be anything because I'm opening all these different frequencies that are very specific to all these different healing blocks. If there are generational cords, we will cut that. If there are entities that are in the way, I will work with that. If there is just more of an emotional block there, I will clear the body. So it is really, really vast. And never ending in that sense. Like I can say I never get tired of it because there's always something new that I discover with it. And when I am doing this, I also provide the client with a lot of information. I'm multitasking as I'm sending the energy, opening the channels, and I'm also taking a lot of notes of what's happening, what's coming as messages. What are the things that that are suggested moving forward for them to do? What's the next step in our work? Everything. So that's in essence that incorporation of the three.
Yes. What's not to love about it, Aileen? That's what we need. And I have seen, actually have interviewed so many people, therapists, psychotherapists, and life coaches, that they bring in this component of spirituality, of energy healing into their work. It's like, why not? It's self-knowledge, isn't it? You are educating people to know more about themselves, all the layers, all the, we are not just what we think we are. So, gosh, there's so much. I want to, I have a question about your book. Are you planning to have the audio version published soon, or at least the visualizations in audio form?
Yes, let's say that it has been a project that has been on hiatus for a long time. I wrote this book, by the way, in 2013. That's when it was published. So it's been a while. I actually have it translated into Spanish, but I haven't published it. And yes, of course, I would love to record it. I used to do a lot of the individual visualizations, either through my meditation center when I had it, and I would do them themed like that, or I would back in the day, and then I'm divulging my age here, I would record CDs, and that's how people would get them as well.
So you are planning to do that one of these days?
I sure am. Yeah. Yes, but there's no date in specifically.
Good. Yeah, I like that too, because not no rush. But yeah, that would help from what I see, because it would be a good idea to close our eyes, right, and listen to it.
Yes, that is true.
Instead of reading it. So, but of course, it doesn't take away the power of it. I read some of them that caught my attention: the healing past trauma and spirituality, abundance. And something happens at the level of energetic level of the body. Something resonates with the cells.
Oh, I love it.
So it's really powerful. Let's say another question. Yes. So I know we planned for you to read the self-love visualization today. Do we still have time, Aileen?
Yes, I can definitely.
Oh, wonderful. If you could do that. Yes. I do have the intro here, but it might not be necessary. So buy the book to see the intro of the self-love visualization.
Oh, would you like me to read that? I can.
If you could, that would be helpful.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, Thank you. Okay, so this is a section on self-love. How we love to feel loved, yet how easily we forget to love ourselves. It is my experience as a psychotherapist and healer that even in the case of the most enlightened and evolved, the search for feeling love becomes external, through others or through something material or achievable. I need a hug. I will hear, or I need a lover. People will say, when I get a car, I will feel good. Or if I get that new outfit, I am taken care of. Or when I get promoted, I will feel better about myself. And I'm not saying that any of these requests or desires are unreasonable. External needs are very valid and necessary. What I am referring to is our soul dependency on them. Time and time again, we hear that love is within us. Of course, we need to believe this and understand it before we can go on a quest to find it within. This quest is no different than the one we embark upon while searching for love from another soul. Except the traveling and exploring involves looking at ourselves. How do we do this? For starters, through meditation. If that seems too scary, as it involves being with your own thoughts and discovering yourself, start with visualization.
Yes.
Follow this next visualization I present to you and make this one visualization your everyday priority. And if you have an opportunity to close your eyes right now, just enjoy. Envision walking barefoot through a colorful and aromatic garden. You can delight yourself by admiring your favorite flowers, fully bloomed, and inhaling the fresh, sweet aroma they produce. At the end of the aisle of flowers you are on, you will find a giant pool full of flower petals, all brilliant and naturally scented. This pool is for you. You enter it and enjoy how your body feels against these soft and beautiful petals. Take the time to bring up what your overcritical self considers as your imperfections, including the character traits and history of your choices in life. Use each petal to soften your self-critic and bring to light your beauty. Forgive yourself and bask in the joy that you are, the love that you are, and what you bring to others in the world. Now, slightly open your mouth as if you were about to sing. And notice flower petals of very unique colors coming out of your mouth. The pool you are in begins to transform itself with your uniqueness. More and more petals come out of you effortlessly, and you finally begin to notice your internal self-love showing its presence externally. Take a close look. Note, that is what my internal self-love looks like. I had it in me all along. Wrap your body around all the petals you created and promise yourself to always remember to find and love yourself first. Then you can share your love with others and with the world. You are beautiful. You are pure love.
Bah, how do we wake up from that?
Slowly taking your time.
Wow, yeah, it's beautiful. I love the sound of your voice. I mean, I love everything about it. It's just so poetic. It sounds like a song. It is a meditation. It is a meditation, right, Eileen?
It is.
It feels like it. Wow. Thank you so much again for being you. Wow. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hesitate to say that because I want to say thank you for being open to life as life itself. Mm-hmm. Yes, as love. And that's why self-love was one of the first steps on my healing journey from childhood abuse. And I remember going, it's been 10 years now or more, but at some point the self dropped. And then there's just love. No, there's no really, who is here to love but life itself that's everywhere, not just here. In a way, it's almost like expanding the feeling of love within the expression of the human experience. So it feels wonderful. And thank you so much again, Eileen.
Oh, my honor and my humble pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, how beautiful. So I had so many other questions to you, not enough time to ask them, but who knows, maybe we'll meet again.
Sure.
So is there anything else that you left unsaid that you would like to end the conversation with or mention?
Yes, I will thank you for this platform, for what you do as well, to give us an opportunity to be heard and found to those who need us. And I will just say that for anyone who is struggling with the idea of whether they go to counseling or not, just know that there are so many different ways of doing it, and you don't have to necessarily go about it traditionally. There are many of my kind. Just explore holistic psychotherapy, and don't be afraid. It just takes that first step. You start, and then before you know it, you'll be on your healing track.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. So true. I want to mention some of the services that I have seen on your website. Energy Healing One-on-One, I believe. Holistic Psychotherapy. You have your book. And there's a page called Initiation. That's really interesting too. So I want to mention that. So your website, I'll have it on the podcast notes, aileenneely.com. They'll be spelled there. And the YouTube channel too. I have here the link. And I want to mention that you used to host a radio show, interesting name right here, called Holistic Answers to Mental Health. And that was from 2010 to 2011, and it's now on YouTube.
It is now on YouTube, if I may, and I have switched the name.
Oh, I have reinvented
it based on the need of others, and now I'm calling it, it's the same link, but I am calling it Keep It Real Therapy.
Keep It Real. Yes, I like that. I didn't see that anywhere. It's on your website too.
I just changed it a couple of days ago.
All right. I love how creative you are too. And that makes so much sense coming from where you're coming from the soul, from the spirit. You're just so free to play with creation, with this, which we call life. So thank you so much again, and we'll talk soon. We'll be in touch again, Aileen.
Valeria.
Bye for now. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Aileen Neely and her work, please visit aileenneely.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.